Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres just split a series with the Diamondbacks. I think it tells you everything you need to know about the Padres. There was a lot of runs in one game. There were no runs in a game. There was one run in another game. They scored just enough in another game. That's who the Padres are. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Yeah, they're an average team. They're an average team. This is what we saw. The Diamondbacks are too. They're both average teams, and they played a very average four-game series. I think the thing, and the frustration was starting to mount for me a little bit in this series. It's not as if this is an incapable baseball team, right? It's not as if this is a baseball team that's really scratching it together with 4A players at every position. This is a team that can be good. They're just horribly inconsistent and almost night to night. And I guess, Kevin, what I'm asking you is that a byproduct of just whoever that day's starting pitcher is? Or is that the sign of something else? And is this something that people are noticing within the organization?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's been kind of talk for a while, and that it's somewhat confounding to them. Certainly, the starting pitcher at times had something to do with it, but now we've gotten into a period where I'm not sure the last time, outside of that Dodgers series, where you were like, oh, wow, yeah, Padres really faced a guy with nastiness today. No, that hasn't been the case. They just, you know, they're not doing the things they have to do at times. Sometimes, because I'm a huge believer in every guy in the major leagues, every starting pitcher has the capability to shove on a given night. That's why he's there. I don't care who it is. But why is it that we're seeing those guys an awful lot for the other team? How does Ryan Fott have like his best start in a while? You know, like how are all these guys with five ERAs allowing 1-0-2 runs over 5-6 innings, right? All the time against the Padres. Ryan, if they had an answer, it's one of those things that's terribly frustrating for me, the guy who constantly feels like if I don't have the answer, I'm not doing my job correctly. Terribly frustrating for fans, but terribly frustrating for the Padres that they can't figure this out of why this inconsistency. But I will say this, this is an affliction of a 500 team. I mean, Rarely do you have a team that, you know, in April – is now this was a little bit the case with the Padres, but that April was 18-2 and then June, you know, was 4-18, like which would be impossible. There's only 30 days in June, so you must have had some rainouts in May to play 32 games in June. But you know what I'm saying? Where you go on these incredible runs and then you don't, like the Cubs this year. That's odd. But here's the thing: their winning streaks have way outperformed their losing streaks. The Padres are just a team that is going to anger you every other day.
Right. Is there a solution in sight?
To give a little insight into what my sort of mid-season, my all-star break story would be, it's giving the cases for the three scenarios at the trade deadline, which are buy, sell, stand pat. And they all look sort of the same. And I can make you passionate, torch-bearing arguments for buy and for sell. I could do it, man. I can even do it. I will. I'm going to come up with it. I'm going to come up with an argument for stand pat. There is the solution is to at least get a starting pitcher. The solution is get Nick Pivetta and or Joe Musgrove back in August. Survive until then. Survive until the All-Star break. Because take a look at their August schedule, especially out of the gate. There's winnable games. How many yes, there are a lot of World Series teams that you could identify in July. There's an awful lot of World Series deep in the playoff teams you cannot identify in July. It's preposterous to think that the Padres can't go on a run, but I can then make the argument it's preposterous to think they would based on this inconsistency. But I'll go back to what you said in your opening, and that is it's not like they don't have the players.
Right. No, that's a great point. That's a great point. I would counter.
Well, you made it.
I would also, though, make the counterpoint that it would be preposterous if this is a team that has, and it depends on what the odds of them making the playoffs are, right? I think it would also be preposterous to not at least entertain trading guys on expiring deals. And not to retain.
I'm going
to
make that point. I can make that point. Yes.
Right. And does that mean you're selling? Nah. Like, you know, this is AJ Preller, right? This is AJ Preller. Like, he could make some moves. And was it 21 or 22 when he made some moves that weren't quite buyer's moves and they weren't quite seller's moves either? It was just.
Well, there was 21 and 23. And so that shouldn't make anybody feel great. We know what happened in those years. But yes, it was 21 and 23.
Right, right. G-Man Choi. Was it G-Man Choi who they got?
G-Man Choi, yeah.
Choi got one hit as a Padre.
Rich Hill.
Yeah. Rich Hill. Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's also a gray area in there where they could maybe be trading with another team that considers themselves a contender. But, you know, like you could see that a little bit too. To me, it's the frustrating part about baseball, why we love it, why we hate it, is they got decent starting pitching last night. And they're facing Merrill Kelly, who is, and I said this 3 days ago, not revisionist history. He's Cy Young every time he faces the San Diego Padres. But like, they got good starting pitching finally, and then they can't hit. And then there are nights when they can hit and they can't pitch. It's just the inconsistency of it all drives you nuts.
The Merrill Kelly start, and Jeff Sanders covered the game, but that's why I made a big deal when they scored 10 runs on Wednesday. I made a big deal about how they sort of manufactured their first run. They sort of did for runs 3 and 4. And even though they ended up hitting a home run, getting, you know, the doubles, putting together 5 hits in an inning and a 4-run inning, all that's awesome. You want that. That's exactly what you need more of. But you also, when you're facing a guy who has owned you, and there are guys that just do really well against certain hitters, and hitters that don't do well against certain pitchers, and guys that are energized in certain ballparks, whatever. And that's why you've got to be able to do some other things. I mean, it's one night, but wait, these one nights keep happening to the Padres, and they've got to find a way to stop having these one nights where it's like, well, that's baseball. Yeah, well, yeah, it is baseball, but does it have to be so often?
Right, right. The Los Angeles Dodgers don't say that's baseball. I mean, I know that's a high bar. I get it. But there are 5 or 6 teams in baseball right now that don't bemoan the game of baseball most nights, you know?
I don't think the Marlins do, right? But now, look, they're a younger, scrappier, certain kind of way team that the Padres simply aren't with the players they have. So, but still, like, yeah, like, okay, fine, throw out the Dodgers. But it's not night after night. It's night after every other night, night after every 4 nights, whatever it is. It's like, why is this offense? And look, the starting pitching will be, unless it improves, what dooms this team. But that doesn't mean you give up. Like, and so the offense, the inability, and you know, it can take us to like, is Manny Machado good since all he does is hit home runs? You know what I mean? Like that's great. And I'm not going to get down on Manny when there's so many other things wrong with this offense. But like, about like the moving the runner, the sacrifice fly, and you know, being more aggressive on the bases, which they are trying to do, but like just not able to really get stuff going. I see the Diamondbacks that one big inning. Was there a bunch of big hits? No, there was a bunch of going the other way and finding the holes in the infield. And I've seen a lot of teams do that to the Padres, and I don't see the Padres do that.
No, it's true. It's true. And, you know, is Manny Machado good because all he's doing is hitting homers? At least somebody's hitting homers.
Yeah, you know? That's what I'm saying. I won't get down on Manny there. It's just hard. It's so weird, right? Like that's just – it's just weird.
I this is why I love baseball. Really. And it's a hard thing to say when the team that you watch every night is driving you up a wall and has been for 8 weeks. But why I love baseball is there are many ways to be good, right? It's the Diamondbacks showed in their wins that you can manufacture your way through some games. Yes, luck plays a part, sure. But, you know, baseball is also one of those things where it seems like as soon as you can patch one hole, you sort of spring a leak in another one. And that's the portion of the season where I think we are with the Padres right now. The free fall of their offense, Yeah. Okay. Yes. They got shut out. Yeah. They scored one run last night, but their offense is not in as much of a free fall as it was a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But they're springing leaks in other areas. And, you know, that makes it really hard to put 3, 4, 6, 8 wins together in a row.
Yes, it does. I'm always aware of what's the moment and the recency bias and the inability to kind of lift your head up from the mud and go, okay, what's this team capable of? But right now it's like, it's hard to think with the injuries in the bullpen, the way the bullpen's been taxed, the starting pitching being tenuous almost like all the time, the inconsistency of the offense, it's hard to envision a 4, 5, 6, 7 game winning streak. And a 4, 5, 6, 7 game winning streak, you know, on that first road trip or soon thereafter is what turns this season around. Without it, it's not, because at this point you can start counting how many wins it is going to take to get to 84, 85, 86, 87, whatever it is, right? And they have games left against the Marlins, the teams that are kind of ahead of them, except for, you know, they don't have the Cubs, the Phillies, the Cardinals. They do have some games where they can affect this. They have games against the Rockies. They have games against the Diamondbacks. You know, they have – the Padres can do this. It's just – can they with all of these things we've talked about?
Now, I think back to 2024, right? There's revisionist history among the fans that the team in 24 was all-time great and last, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The team in 24 was a very average team at the trade deadline. No, I'm sorry, at the All-Star break. They came out of the gate after the All-Star break with a series in Cleveland, series in Washington where Dylan Cease threw the no-hitter, a series in Baltimore where Jackson Merrill went right? That kickstarted, was it the best second half of the season in San Diego Padres history or the second best? One of those two.
It was the best,
right? It is possible, but that team had Dylan Cease in the starting rotation.
It had Michael King as Michael King.
That team had vintage Michael King, not trying to figure it out Michael King. That team had more going for it at the top end than this one does. This team may have a little bit more depth, but you know, that to me is the question. It's like, yes, I agree. A hot start, sweep two series in a row, and you're right back in this. I don't know if they have the capability to play that well night in and night out for a week, because
it has to happen. Is right. Is Jackson Merrill capable of that? I would think that. Yes, he is. Yeah. I would think he is. Gosh, he's been a lot better. You know, if Jackson Merrill's season started on, I think, June 9th or whenever it was, June 16th, you'd be like, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's all right. It has to be then timed that night that Jackson Merrill goes, you know, 4 for 4, hits one of those ninth inning home runs, has to be timed on a night that, you know, Walker Buehler didn't give up 9 runs, you know, and that's just not what's happening. Right.
If the Padres won last night, if the Padres won last night, we'd be talking about Manny Machado being back. Manny Machado hits a solo home run and then 109 mile an hour screamer to left in his second at bat, starts 2 for 2. You know, it seems like Manny's slowly coming back to where he needs to be for this to be a playoff team. And then the other half isn't picking up the slack. The other 8 guys in the order. Manny had 2 of their 3 hits last night. Can't win a game when you get 3 hits. Can't win a game when you score 1 run. Not with this pitching staff. You just can't.
That's right. Earlier in the season, they did win a couple games that way. But without, what were we saying at that time? Well, this isn't sustainable. And there's your proof. Yep.
Right. Yep. Without belaboring this point, Kevin, you think it's frustrating to be a Padre fan? Toronto Blue Jays are 44-49. Like the Padres. I think there are some real similarities here. The Toronto Blue Jays are going for it. Okay. Toronto Blue Jays made the World Series last year. Toronto Blue Jays should have won the World Series last year. Okay. And they're 3 games under, or 5 games under, I'm sorry, 3rd place in their own division, which isn't very good, and coming into Petco Park for this series. Can we get into the starting pitching starting tonight? Excellent. Friday night, we've got the Biebs, Shane Bieber, just back into the rotation there, 0-1 with an ERA of 9, missed the first 3 months of the season with elbow inflammation. He goes up against J.P. Sears. So if I'm doing my JP Sears start math right, tonight would be the disaster, right? Because he goes good, disaster, good, disaster. He's 2-1 with an ERA of 4.70, You know, when he's good, he's been very good. When he was at Wrigley Field, he gave up 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings. Righties have an 812 OPS off of him so far this year. And the Toronto Blue Jays have a lot of pretty good right-handed hitters. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. What do you make of that, Kevin?
Yeah, it's a small sample size, but you're not wrong. And certainly the righty thing has been an issue. Look, J.P. Sears is a lot like a lot of their starters. They don't have a Dylan Cease anymore, right? Like, that is like, my stuff is so good, you know? Like, if Dylan Cease is on, it's what he did in his last start. And the Padres will miss him because he just pitched in San Francisco and took a no-hitter to the ninth. But these guys have to attack the zone, and not just attack the zone, but go where the catcher's mitt is. Like be where it's supposed to be, or they're going to be in trouble. And JP Sears and his two good starts, and especially this last one, did what he was supposed to do, and had, you know, the gumption to be on the attack. And if he's not, it'll get ugly.
Yeah, it will get ugly. You know, Saturday, I think an interesting matchup. Trey Savage, 4-4, 3.31. Again, star last year's postseason, has a 2.45 ERA over his last four starts. Kevin, he is 22 years old. Going up against Walker Buehler, who used to be 22 years old, he is now 31, has allowed 16 earned runs over his last two starts. Got, I thought, shelled against the Diamondbacks on Monday. I mean, geez. And the Diamondbacks aren't the Dodgers. So it looks like he's going through it a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't think he understands it or can figure it out right now. Like, he doesn't, you know, there's not something to pinpoint, is my understanding. Things were going really, really well. He was what he was. He was a guy who gave you 5.2, occasional 6. We're like, okay, well, that's who Walker Buehler settled in to be. And, you know, two terrible, terrible starts. What are you going to say?
And didn't get a whole lot of help from his defense and also from himself in the first inning of that last game, right? Track fly ball that I thought Jackson Merrill misplayed in center, sort of kicks off the little cutout part, shoots over, and that's a triple. And then Walker Buehler then hits a guy in the foot, then picks that guy off first base and airmails the throw to second, where the guy would have been dead by 20 feet. And then things snowball from there. Again, that's what I'm talking about, right? When things aren't going your way, you know, my father, who's still with us, thankfully, my dad had a saying, which is good teams find ways to win and bad teams find ways to lose. And it seems like this team is finding ways to lose some nights now. And that's got to be frustrating.
They do remind me of that. For me, it was old football coach who said, you create your own luck. Sort of the same thing. You create your own luck. Like, yes, you know what? That was unfortunate, what happened in this play or this inning. Why is it always happening to you? Maybe because you're not putting yourself in the right positions.
Right. I remember a certain baseball figure, he had a saying, it was winners find solutions. And, you know, you look at the first inning of that Diamondbacks game on Monday, and nobody wants to rehash this, but I'll give it 90 seconds. If this was a Padre team that thought, down 1-0 in the first, we'll rally, we always do, maybe that game turns out a little differently. I think things have been so tight there lately. You get down early, there's the thought, at least in the stands, of, ooh, here we go again.
Yep. I'm guaranteeing you it is a part of it. Like, even Manny, who would deny it, now acknowledges. And so you knew, if you've been doing this a while, that when he was denying it, it was true that he was pressing. He started I know. You don't need to, I mean, I'm glad you're telling me, but I know because I saw it. And you know, the guy like Manny, who's so one of the calmest, coolest, most collected guys I've ever seen on a baseball field, can go through it. You know that Jackson Merrill can go through it, and Jay Cronenworth can go through it, and Gavin Sheets can go through it, Ty France, and on, absolutely.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then let's get into Sunday. Kevin Gausman, 4-8, 4.32 ERA. Again, a real regression, it looks like, for him this year. You know, a big free agent signee a couple years ago, veteran guy, 35 years old. He has an 8.38 ERA over his last four starts. Padres will counter with Herman Marquez, who's allowed 3 runs in 2 relief appearances since returning from forearm nerve inflammation. Maybe there's a little more to Marquez than he showed. In his first month or so with the Padres, he's looked okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one was a relief and one was Harmon actually started the last game. Unless I'm wrong. Okay. Yeah. No, did the 3-inning stint at the end of the Dodgers series and the 5 innings at the beginning. And that was clutch, man. And that was the kind of quote unquote luck the Padres haven't had. He got out of a first inning that looked like how in the world is he going to get out of it? Well, Nolan Arenado, I forget what the pitch was, whether it was good or not, but a lot of times a guy maybe should have done more with a pitch, but he hit a soft liner that Sungmon Song made a fantastic play on and a double play inning over, right? When like that is, and they got out of it and then they score. Like that is something they haven't done. And then he went through 4 scoreless innings. Like you would say, that's what you want from Germán Márquez. Like, that's what you thought you could get from Germán Márquez, who's not a number 2 or 3 or even 4 anymore. You get that from Germán, then you're good. But anytime I use the word if with this team, I feel like I should cross it out with a red circle, you know, and a line through it, because the ifs aren't working out for the Padres.
Right. Best thing I read from you this week, Kevin, was a note that you had about Lucas Giolito, who's on the injured list. I thought he was very revealing. In his interview with you, ran in today's version of the UT, was in yesterday's Padres Daily. It looks like he acknowledged that his velocity was a problem after telling everybody for a long time that it wasn't, and that the buildup here is trying to get an extra couple of ticks on that fastball to see if he can be an effective big leaguer the rest of the way. Fair?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. And you kind of always know it. And we'll see. That's where I'm at with this team. I mean, you should be encouraged by the fact that Germán Márquez legitimately did seem to be affected by whatever it was. He's calling it a biceps. I think they were calling it a flexor, whatever, nerve irritation. This elbow inflammation seems to be a real thing for Lucas Giolito. But look, it was bigger than that. But this time down and time to work in the bullpen, should be encouraged by that. Again, there's just so much that has to go right. And, you know, we'll see.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and I'm going to do it again. A little different today. Rapid fire. Give me one sentence answers to the following 3 questions. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Should Sungmon Song be playing every day?
Yes, Sungmon Song needs to be into the lineup until we see whether this, like when he plays regularly, the uptick in play is real. Run on sentence.
Is Luis Camposano the Padres catcher until further notice?
He is, as long as he keeps hitting. There is no other real viable option.
Right. Although Freddie Fermin is on a rehab assignment already, apparently. Okay. But yeah. But again, I think even when he comes back, I think you got to ride with Camposano, don't you?
I think Camposano, and they've sort of hinted at it, that he will be their guy as long as he hits.
As long as he hits. Gotcha. Number 3, what position does Jake Cronenworth play going forward?
Jake Cronenworth is a second baseman. He's a pretty good one. I'm not sure what's happening in the field with him right now.
Yep. He played first base last night, which is why I bring that up. They put Sheets in left, Cronenworth at first, and Song at second. I wondered out loud if it would make sense to swap Sheets and Cronenworth and see if maybe Cronenworth can go track some balls in left field.
He could, but that's an awful tough ask even for Cronenworth in the middle of the season.
Yep.
The defense awful is tough. They think there's something they've got against that. It's something that has been sort of talked about for years, putting Cronenworth in left field and never been acted on. And I've never gotten a straight answer, but it's like at some point, take the hint. It's not going to happen. But I'm with you. Like, absolutely. But this is an effort. Sungmon Song deserves to have a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he's actually a really good defender. And when he plays, he gets on base at least.
Yep. And he's fun as hell on the bases. I mean, he's fast. I think that Jake Cronenworth's value at this stage in his career is, and this is a compliment. You remember Ben Zobrist for the Cubs and Rays? A guy who you can put anywhere. He'll start every day on a good team, but maybe at a bunch of different positions. I suspect that that is his future, whether it's with the Padres or somewhere else, but that's just me.
And Jake can handle it. It became this trend of like playing players all over the place, right? And like, Yeah, it does. Turns out they don't exactly cotton to that, right? Like that, not a lot of them, but Jake can do it. And you're not also then asking Jake to perform at this, you know, 900 OPS level either, right? Like a great part of his value is being what you need him to be and being solid at it, not great at what you need him to be, solid at it, and then still have the ability to give you good at bats and you know what, maybe get on base.
I'll tell you what, his bat has not been the problem since he returned. It's the sort of weird defensive miscues that you don't really see from Jake Cronenworth all that often. I mean, you could argue it cost him at least one game already. So
yeah.
Yep, crazy. All right, Padres Blue Jays 3-game series this weekend at Petco Park. Then it's the All-Star break, Kevin. Excited to go to Philly in July?
Yeah, it's going to be miserable that entire trip. It's going to be summer in the East and Midwest. Yeah, hey, it's all good. It's all good. All-Star game, Mason Miller working on my closer story. Mason's a great story. Yeah.
We're used to it. Bonus on the spot question. Is it easier or better? Easier or better? What are you talking about? Is it easier or harder when the Padres only send one guy?
Harder, because I want to justify to you why I'm there and to the reader and make it interesting for them. It's pretty easy when Tatis is there, Morejon is there, Robert Suarez is there, Manny Machado is there. This is wild that there's one guy there. I think Mason Miller was surprised when he was with the A's. You know, at least Brent Rooker went with him a couple of years.
Exactly. You know, the Padres are sending a ball girl. She's going to be one of the all-star ball girls. So,
yeah. You know, that's big. At least I know someone will have some action in the game.
There we go. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.